From the Loxley Banks Broadcasting Center in Georgetown, I'm Jevy Ebanks with a look at your latest local news.
Our territories are each unique, but our voices are stronger when we speak together.
The Premier continues discussions this week at the Overseas Territories Caribbean Caucus meeting in Bermuda, a tee-up to the Joint Ministerial Council meeting in the United Kingdom in November. Premier the Honourable Andre Ebanks tells Radio Cayman the focus has been on health services, building resiliency against climate change and hurricanes, and shaping the, quote, modern, respectful partnership with the United Kingdom.
When the Cayman Islands arrives at the Joint Ministerial Council this November, we'll arrive united, standing with our fellow Caribbean overseas territories, ready to speak with one voice.
He says the Caribbean Caucus is a unique forum in which overseas territory leaders coordinate positions, exchange experiences on shared policy challenges, and agree on common approaches. Bermuda and Cayman are joined by representatives from Anguilla, the British Virgin Islands, Montserrat, and the Turks and Caicos Islands. To the courts, the manslaughter trial of Dr. Paul Anthony Tiganidis continues today with further testimony concerning the treatment of Travis Alexander Ebanks, who died after being shot in January 2024. Dr. Tiganidis is charged with a single count of manslaughter, a charge he denies. Prosecutors allege that an improperly placed breathing tube contributed to Ebanks' death, while the defense maintains that the tube was correctly inserted and that the gunshot injuries were unsurvivable. The jury heard from another doctor involved in Ebanks' treatment in the hospital trauma room. The witness testified that he was working alongside Dr. Tiganidis when the decision was made to intubate the patient. According to the doctor, several established procedures were carried out to confirm that the breathing tube had been correctly placed. He told the court these checks included listening with a stethoscope, monitoring carbon dioxide output, observing chest movement, and assessing whether the patient's oxygen levels improved following intubation. The doctor said all of these indicators appeared normal at the time. The witness acknowledged that he was not the physician who inserted the tube, explaining that the procedure was done by the accused. However, he noted that trauma-trained physicians are routinely taught to perform this kind of operation and that it is not unusual for different doctors within a trauma team to carry out the procedure. His testimony was generally consistent with the evidence previously given by other medical professionals from the HSA throughout the trial, who've described trauma training and emergency response protocols used within the hospital. The court also heard evidence relating to the independent medical opinion obtained by the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. The doctor told jurors that he disagrees with the conclusion reached by the Crown's expert witness. He said that based on the circumstances and the injuries presented, continued resuscitation efforts appeared futile, and that he ultimately made the decision to pronounce Ebanks dead, not Dr. Tiganidis. The witness further testified that although he ordered an X-ray during the treatment, he was unable to review it until after the patient had been pronounced dead. When he eventually examined the image, he observed what he described as extensive internal bleeding and gunshot fragments within Ebanks' body. The doctor also rejected the Crown's expert opinion that adrenaline should have been administered. He told the court that the severity of the injuries, including spinal damage and significant trauma to the right lung, meant that adrenaline would not have meaningfully altered the patient's condition or outcome. Prosecutors are expected to call their expert witness tomorrow. That testimony could mark the final stages of the Crown's case before the defense begins presenting its evidence. It remains unclear whether Dr. Tiganidis will choose to testify in his own defense. In other court news, C3 Pure Fiber says it will seek leave to appeal to the Privy Council after the Cayman Islands Court of Appeal ruled today that historical ICT license fees charged by Ofreg were lawful. The company argues that before the legislative amendments passed in 2024 and 2025, the law did not properly authorize the collection of those fees from ICT providers. C3 maintains that license fees should have been established through formal regulation and published in the Government Gazette, rather than determined through individual license agreements. Managing Director Randy Merrin described the matter as one of wider importance for the ICT sector, regulatory transparency, and consumers. Luciano Jackson Martinez has been sentenced to 10 years in prison after admitting to possessing an illegal firearm, ammunition, and drugs. The defense argued that he carried the weapon out of fear for his safety after being shot, threatened, and targeted on multiple occasions over the past decade, including during the Ed Bush Stadium shooting in 2024. However, Justice the Honorable Cheryl Richards KC, who heads the Grand Court's criminal division, ruled that existing law does not allow for self-protection to be treated as an exceptional circumstance for avoiding the mandatory minimum sentence for illegal firearm possession. A social inquiry report suggested that he displayed symptoms consistent with post-traumatic stress disorder and struggled following the violence directed against him. The judge imposed a mandatory 10-year term with related sentences ordered to run concurrently. Meanwhile, Kimberly Ann McLean has been found not guilty of possessing an unlicensed firearm and ammunition after Justice Richards ruled that prosecutors failed to prove that she knew the weapon was in the apartment she shared with her partner, Jackson Martinez. Police discovered a loaded Smith & Wesson pistol, ammunition, and cocaine during a search of the residence in May 2025. Although both occupants were initially charged, McLean consistently denied knowledge of the firearm and drugs, while her partner Luciano Jackson Martinez admitted ownership of the gun. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. The Ministry of Education is working to address four outstanding recommendations from the Auditor General and the Public Accounts Committee. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller reports.
One of the outstanding recommendations relates to career guidance policies. And Chief Officer Satanya Cacho highlights that there is a National Workforce Committee that shares information on scholarship opportunities, identifies gaps in employment and scholarships, areas for duplication and work permit needs, among other things. She noted that the work of this committee will feed into that policy.
There was a recommendation around refocusing the work budget. The National Training and Development Unit came over to the Ministry of Education and Training after the general election. And we are looking at that unit, our scholarship unit, and what's happening in Caymanian employment and that ministry. And we are realigning that unit. And so the budget will shift, we're expecting, but we're still in the process of looking at that unit and how it relates to our scholarship unit and the wider remit of that area. So that's still in progress.
She added that cameras have been installed at Clifton Hunter and John Gray High Schools, another recommendation, and there is a proposal to assess the cost and implications of putting cameras in other schools.
And the last was a report on scholarships. So we have a scholarship database and we've developed an interface that now sits over that data and is able to pull key information for us on scholarship students, their areas of study, their duration of study, etc. We're still working with that committee that I mentioned earlier to get additional information and we're using that interface and that analysis internally. But our goal is to be able to share that information then with work, with Caymanian employment, with other agencies that would find it useful as well. So that one is also in progress.
Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. You can watch the full PAC meeting on the CIGTV YouTube channel. In other PAC news, during Wednesday's Public Accounts Committee meeting, the focus shifted to health. CIGTV's Liana Jarvis has this report.
The Public Accounts Committee questioned the Health Services Authority on outstanding audit and PAC recommendations, focusing on outpatient pharmacy services. HSA's Chief Financial Officer Sheila Thomas reported that 14 of 17 recommendations are now fully completed.
We have three that I would say we are still in various stages of completion. But for the most part, we have addressed and have worked on all the recommendations as a project rather than individual items. So yes, 14 of the 17 could be considered as complete.
Completed actions include a new pharmacy business plan and fixed two-year supply contracts to control costs. The three remaining recommendations involve revisiting unaccepted 2014 consultant reforms and publishing pharmacy performance data publicly. Officials explained that while internal tracking is active, releasing the information across clinics remain in progress.
The primary areas that we haven't yet completed is like in some of the recommendations, it says we are to display those information publicly, which we haven't done. We have done it internally. We're reporting, we're managing, we're monitoring and doing all the things that the OIG has recommended, but we have not published the data as was recommended. So those elements we would still have to do.
To watch the full meeting, visit the Cayman Islands Government YouTube channel.
Finally, the Cayman Islands Public Library Services is seeking volunteer reading coaches for its one-to-one tutoring in reading program at the East End Public Library. The program will run from the 14th of September through the 27th of November, and again from the 11th of January through the 6th of March. Volunteers will work directly with children to help improve reading skills and literacy development through one-on-one tutoring sessions. Parents interested in registering a child or residents interested in volunteering are encouraged to contact Sandra Ebanks at the East End Public Library for more information. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. For a replay of this news broadcast, visit our website, radiokman.gov.ky. You can also find and follow Radio Cayman on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.